You're listening to the Incomparables Total Party Kill podcast, in which a group of friends play Dungeons & Dragons on the internet for your amusement. This is episode number 415, starting a new season of a new series of heist-based adventures, Keys from the Golden Vault. Recorded March, posted September 2023. Societies with Secrets.
Welcome back to Total Party Kill.
Recording.
Today, we are doing one of my favorite things. We are starting a brand new adventure. But wait, who am I? I'm Tony Sindelar. Is he, him pronouns? I am a dungeon master, often on Total Party Kill. And today, the adventure we will be starting is an adventure known as the Merkmire Malevolence. It is the first adventure, the level one adventure, from the recently released official Wizards of the Coast D&D Keys from the Golden Vault, which is a series of heist-themed adventures. I was very excited to buy this book, and several of my friends are very excited to play it because, you know, I think nerds just love heists, right?
Yes.
Is that fair to say, nerds? You can speak.
Yes.
Yes.
Nerds love heists, I think, because they are the... basically the nerdiest form of crime, because they have a lot of planning to them and careful calculation and consideration.
Requires
and
good organization, thought, planning.
I mean, a heist is the project management, like, concentration of crime.
Most criminals get into crime because they don't want to do homework. But heisters get into crime because they
want
to do
the homework.
They're all about the homework.
That's right.
Well, let us introduce some of these aforementioned nerds. I will introduce them, and they will introduce their, I was going to say brand new, but at least new to this adventure, characters that they will be playing. We have a heist crew of four today. Players, I will tell you, for purposes of this adventure, you already all know each other and perhaps maybe even have pulled some jobs together in the past, but this will be, you know, your first big score. First up, it's Jason Snell. Welcome back to Total Party Kill, Jason Snell.
Oh, hello. Hi, Tony. Hi, everybody. I am playing a character named Revel. He is a Triton, so he is a blue fish man, and he is also a druid, because that's funny. And so, yeah, he lives in something under the sea. Like, no, that's SpongeBob. Sorry. He's from Little Ocean in the hardscrabble world of Waterdeep. He grew up there, and now he's, you know, he's a man of the people. He's kind of a folk hero. Rabble rouser, troublemaker, and apparently enjoys doing the homework in terms of heist planning.
Thank you for joining us, Jason. Also joining us, it's Annette Weirstra. Hi, Annette.
Hello, I am Annette, and I am playing J-Raff, an Asimar paladin. She's kind of a goth Asimar, though, so she likes wearing a lot of black and purple, and she, also comes from Waterdeep. She came from a family that's quite wealthy, but she's going through this sort of, well, she's about, you know, she probably should be past it, but a rebellious stage where she's pretending like she doesn't come from money and is a bit petulant, but she thinks she should be a criminal instead of doing what her parents want her to do. And
I have a question. Is the gothness of her part of her rebellion, or are her whole family goth Asimars?
No, she is goth because she is being rebellious.
Okay, all right.
Mm. So they're hippies.
Kinda, yeah.
The family portraits are these classy Asimar and one really goth Asimar out front.
Yes. Yeah. Well, no, they actually hide her towards the back because they're like not super proud of her, because some rumors of...
Ever since she dyed her hair, they like put her away in the back.
Yeah, her hair's definitely purple. Mm-hmm. So, excellent. Yeah, and she honors as a paladin, which her family does not. Again, this is another part of her rebellion, is the Raven Queen.
She found religion? Yeah.
So, yeah, she can't do anything her parents did, and so she will, you know... anything they did, super uncool.
Sounds like trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Also joining us, it's Monty Ashley.
Hello, I'm Monty Ashley. My pronouns are he, him. I am a Dungeons & Dragons player.
Today I will be playing Krong, the bugbear. Woo-hoo! Now this is a slightly different bugbear than the last Krong you might have heard, because they changed the description of bugbears, and also I don't know if I remember how I did the voice.
So this is either Krong. Depending on how it goes, it's either Krong the early years, or it's like when they went back in time and made a different, like a reboot of Star Trek. It's Krong the reboot. Yeah. It's one of those.
The name on the character sheet is a whole new Krong.
Mm.
I saw that and made me laugh.
And last, but certainly not least, rounding out our high school of nerds, it's Erica Ensign. Hi, Erica.
Hello. Yes, Erica Ensign, she, her. I am playing Levithia Duisigri, who is a human ranger, and she also comes from nobility and wealth. And actually, I think that's how she ended up here, because she was, well, I'm not going to say childhood friends with Jay, but their parents made them play together because they thought that might be a good influence. But Levithia is just a real spacey kid, liked to roam the woods around the country manor as opposed to the house in the city, and is like just the weird second daughter. So not like outright scorn, but her parents are just like, yeah, you just go do whatever you want. And she has a tendency to just sort of stare into space and not be paying great attention to what's happening around her, but she follows directions really well. And I don't know, maybe Jay was like, we probably need a human just in case. So here I am.
So the four of you have perhaps worked together, or at least crossed paths and recently joined together, as adventurers are wont to do, you know, in order to, you know, pull down various tasks that, you know, take more than one person, that, you know, where places where a team can really come together. And so the four of you have been operating for a while. Our adventure today is going to take place in the city of Varkenbluff. That's Vark, V-A-R-K, E-N, Bluff, B-L-U-F-F. All of these will be provided for you in writing later. Don't worry about it. Varkenbluff is the jewel of the greater Varkenbluff area, according to the Varkenbluff Chamber of Commerce. You know, it's a kind of a mid-range city. It's got a couple taverns. It's got some areas around it that are, you know, a little rough and tumble, which can be good for adventurers in terms of there might be places that need to be protected or caravan duty or, you know, ancient tombs to explore. But there's also, you know, Varkenbluff as a city is big enough that there's stuff happening in Varkenbluff itself. Now, some of you, of the four of you, may have heard previously, these are your characters, not the players, just so we're clear, of the group known as the Golden Vault. The Golden Vault is a, you know, you don't know a lot, because the main thing that you know about the Golden Vault is that they are a secret society. The Golden Vault has a reputation as being one of those kind of benevolent secret societies, in that they...
Give me a different one.
Sure. I'm sorry, Monty. It's literally on the book. the title. The Golden Vault is they're known for doing the right thing, but, you know, perhaps through secret means and perhaps clandestine means, but usually for good intentions. And they are, you know, they as a secret society do not claim anything, but they are sometimes attributed with various things that perhaps have, you know, saved the town or saved various cities in and around Varkenbluff from all manner of untoward things. And so, you know, perhaps it is with some excitement, or in the case of Krong, you know, boredom and distrust, we're going to say that Levithia, you have received an invitation to meet with a contact from the Golden Vault because of a potential contract that they want you to take out. This would be potentially basically a tryout job for becoming what is known as a key. That is what they call their agents, the keys from the Golden Vault.
Okay, Levithia is not the kind of person to ever check her mail. So
it arrives by bird. It's a scroll.
Ah, okay.
What bird?
It is a cardinal. A cardinal taps on your window with a little scroll, and there's just the name of a tavern.
Picturing a guy with a pointy hat out there on the windowsill. Hello.
The name of the tavern. The tavern name is the Phoenix's Beak. And the tomorrow at 9 a.m., which is a very early tavern meeting. Let's be clear here. There is also a golden key attached to the little note that you receive from the cardinal.
Does it just say that, or does it tell me who to bring, or
it's just. I think there's the implication to bring your friends. You know, yeah, it's your traditional plus three adventure invitation.
Gotcha.
You know.
All right.
Chicken or beef, you know.
Probably she'll just set it down and forget it for a while. But then eventually, I don't know, she'll pick it up and I don't know. Maybe I'm bunking with Jay for a while. And we have this sweet goth pad. Or maybe, probably Jay's staying at my parents' house.
Yeah, I can't afford my own place if I reject my parents' wealth.
That's true. You can come and stay with me. I just handed it over to you. We got a thing?
We should go and get our friends, Krong and Ravel.
Oh, okay.
I think they're available, but I don't know.
They're available, I'm sure.
Okay. And so they are. All right. So can we fast forward to 9 a.m. at the Phoenix's Beak?
I mean, unless somebody argues.
No, Ravel's like, Phoenix's Beak, 9 a.m. Oh, man, they got a great brunch.
The brunch is acceptable.
With mimosas.
It is.
That are mostly orange juice, but still.
Yeah, you know, that's how they get you. All right, Krong, are you allowed to be awake at 9 a.m.? I forget how bugbears work.
I can be awake at it. Excuse me, I had something cut in my throat. I can be awake at any time I want.
Mm. And so,
Batman, this feels like Batman.
I think that was what Krong sounded like.
Yeah, Krong, it is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's pretty close.
And so you make your way to the Phoenix Beak. You know, despite the quality of the brunch, fine. It is a pretty sparse.
Pretty early for brunch, isn't it? 9 you know, a.m. That's still that breakfast
is a,
time.
That is a thing. Somebody once tried to get me to have brunch.
It's marketing
at like 9 o'clock on a Saturday, and I was like angry. It was also like
breakfast.
It was far away. It was like a 40-minute drive from my house, and it was like, what? I don't want to be up this early. This offends me. Anyway, that's backstory from that one time Tony had brunch and was grumpy about it 10 years ago. Wow. So
add it to the wiki.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Please Canon. Don't. Yep.
Canonical in Tony's life.
Someone's assembling a timeline and it's not me. The Phoenix Beak, pretty sparse crowd, and you find a booth. It's nice. You get your mimosas and various breakfast things. You know, they have some potatoes, they have eggs. I don't know what else they have for breakfast in old-timey D&D world, but you know, if you can imagine it, they have it.
French
toast.
It just
might not be very good. Oh, well, do they call it? I think they call it goblin toast.
Yes, it is called Goblin Toast, but it is because they have a
good yes ending.
Well, the Goblin Toast, you see, Tony, is very good in D&D time because there's a lot of stale bread, right? Because the bread quality is not very good. So they very quickly were like, we got to do something with this crappy stale bread. And a goblin, a well-known goblin, whose name is lost to history, unfortunately.
Oh,
but he's known as the inventor of French toast.
World building.
Oh, one of those Goblin well-known toast.
People who we don't know their
names. His name actually was French, strangely enough. And French yes, said, why don't we mix and dip it in egg?
Like F-R apostrophe
N-C-H-H.
Yeah. Yep.
Unfortunately, due to racism, they didn't call it French toast. They called it Goblin toast. But it's very good and not made with goblins, usually.
Sometimes made by goblins, Never made four goblins, tragically.
Yeah, goblins are frequently back-of-house people. There's a lot of racism in this society.
There's kind of some cultural appropriation going on when they have the goblins make the goblin toast, but it's okay.
All right.
This is what we're doing, right? It's a whole adventure where we eat out and travel and see the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I guess this is what we're doing. As you are settling into your booth, give me a quick perception check.
Rolling dice.
I rolled a good number.
Can I choose not to?
Yes.
I rolled a 2.
I rolled a 2.
I rolled a 19 for a total of 20.
In my defense, I ordered a mimosa, hold the orange juice, and so I'm on my second one. Because it's a good kind of brunch.
All of your perception checks are with disadvantage until noon? I don't...
French toast. goblin toast. Goblin toast. Oh, it's the best.
Yeah. There is a young woman in kind of the booth, like, kitty corner to you, who is, like, clearly kind of, like, staring at all of you. And she looks, like she's, perhaps maybe was eavesdropping a little bit, trying to assess what's going on with the four of you and how many mimosas you've had to drink.
Lavithia is just sort of staring at the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
Since I think I'm the only one that noticed her, I will continue talking to everybody, but slip into Thieves Cant the message. What do you want?
So
as I understand it, it was a goblin, and it... What was its name? I don't remember its name. That's weird. Anyway, the goblins make this toast, and it's great.
Hearing you speak in Thieves' Cant, the young woman's eyes kind of light up, and she gets up and kind of like does almost like an exaggerated cartoon three steps to get from her booth to your booth. And I don't know if there's space in the booth for this person, but they kind of like they make space and slides in. We'll say next to Krong. And she makes kind of a dramatic show of reaching into her robe and producing, it looks kind of like a little wooden cube, and putting it in front of you. This is what the woman looks like. She's dressed like she might be some kind of like scribe or other person that, is the white collar people in old timey D&D world. Not a laborer, but also not someone who's super rich.
Is this the check?
She does kind of a fake cough.
We're not ready for the check yet.
I offer to order her a mimosa.
I really appreciate it. But this is from a friend of ours. And she kind of taps on the wooden cube that's in front of Krong.
I pick up the cube.
Okay. It's small. It's a couple inches on each side. It's mainly, wood. It's got some fancy kind of little brass inlays around it. And looking around it, there doesn't seem to be kind of like a hinge, but there is a visible keyhole on one side.
I take out my thieves' tools and try to pick the lock.
Okay. Give me a, I believe that's a dexterity check with your thieves tools. I think you have advantage if you're trained in thieves tools.
I have proficiency in thieves tools for sure. Mm-hmm. So I'd really like to add my proficiency bonus to this.
Please do.
That comes to 13, unless I also have advantage, in which case I will reroll.
Why don't you reroll?
That comes to 11.
Krong, you are working at it, and this is... it's hard. This is a very delicate lock. It's very tiny. It's also, you think that there's some magic in this old box. And it is, you're stumped as to why, if you're going to ever be able to unlock this box that may or may not be unlockable with your thieves tools.
I say, Lavithia, give him the key.
I'm sorry, what?
Remember that key? Did you bring that key?
Oh, yeah.
You put it in your pocket?
The young woman is nodding her head very enthusiastically.
Lavithia pulls out the key. It's like, oh yeah, this thing here, and hands it over to Krong.
Oh, I take the key and I insert it into the lock and I turn it.
Okay. The first thing you all notice is that suddenly the sounds of the tavern are completely muted out. It's like all that kind of background noise and the din and people's forks on their brunch plates and whatnot, suddenly silent. You can still see people. There are people around you, but it's like no sound from the world around you is getting in. And then the box begins to speak. It sounds like the voice of the young woman who gave you the box. Greetings, operatives, or should I say potential operatives. The Golden Vault has learned that the egg of an Eldritch Horror has been mistaken for a historical object and is about to go on display at the Varkenbluff Museum of Natural History. The anthropologist, Dr. Cassie Donnell, tried to warn officials about this egg, known as the Merkmeyer Stone, but no one believed her. We do, and we know that if this egg hatches, many will die, or worse. This quest, should you choose to undertake it, requires you to infiltrate the museum, steal the egg, and return it to Dr. Donnell, who will neutralize it. There's no time to waste. The egg could hatch at any moment. Start by meeting with Dr. Donnell at the Varkenbluff University. Good luck, operatives. The sound of the tavern kind of resumes slowly around you. The young woman is just looking at all of you and just really smiling. We've, our friends, mutual friends, have had our eye on you for a little while, and I have been given the task of recruiting you and kind of managing this current situation. My name's Mira Rahir, from the Golden Vault. And it would just, you know, I am really, really rooting for you all. It would be great if you are successful at this first job, both for me and for you and for Varkenbluff. And the greater Varkenbluff area.
Is there anything else in the box?
The box is not open. It just, you know, plays a recording. And in fact, you notice that the box is like slowly starting to kind of fade away.
There's fade away, like vanish?
Yeah, it's just kind of like
you remembered
turning into dust.
We heard
the
this message will self-destruct in 2 seconds.
There's kind of a slight rattle as the little. As the little key hits the table. Oh, make sure to hold on to that for later. Probably not relevant anytime soon, but you know, I had proposed that we make the keys disappear and not the boxes, but I was overruled. But when I'm in charge, things will be different. Says Mira.
What other plans do you have for changing how things are run?
Well, you know, I shouldn't get into details with potential people.
That's reasonable.
Besides which, there's a horror egg to stop from hatching or have hatched somewhere that it isn't. So we should probably get on that.
You know, my boss is a real morning person, and so he insists that all these briefings be at 9 a.m. I would have sent you the box last night if it was up to me. But I'm a night owl. What are you going to do?
I pick up the key.
Any questions?
Do you get a kickback from this tavern?
I do not. It's kind of hard. Well, there's a challenge of sponsorships and secret societies. Or we prefer to say societies with secrets.
What are your opinions on Goblin Toast?
Pro?
I nod.
To the university!
All right. Good luck. It's really important that you're successful and you head out.
You can tell it's really important that you have
what does this
untested adventurers do it. So
what does this egg look like?
Dr. Donnell will have answers to all your questions.
Well, okay then.
Because I'm not sure. All right. Varkenbluff University is not too hard to find. Varkenbluff is, you know, it's kind of a one college town or city. And so you head to Varkenbluff University. It's, you know, it's your classic campus with, you know, big gray stone column buildings. There's some ivy. And I guess the question is, where will you find Professor Janelle?
Is there a directory? Was the professor in a particular department?
I believe that you were told that Professor Janelle is an anthropologist.
We were not told that. That's the first time you've ever said the word anthropologist.
Ever?
Canon. Tony Life canon right there.
I'm looking at the script that I read from, and it says anthropologist, but there's no way.
I don't remember.
It's possible someone
Mama
interrupted
says.
You.
Let's go to the anthropology department.
You seemed very certain, and so I'm not a confident person. So
I always seem very certain. That's my secret.
Why would you lie about this? This is finally Monty makes his move. Yeah. All right, and so you head to the anthropology department, having remembered that that is what I said before.
Are bugbears okay on this campus?
I think so. There's not like a sign that says no monsters.
All right, because I'm still a giant nightmare monster.
It is broad daylight.
Monty, in some ways, your giant nightmare monster, there's kind of two aspects of a heist. There's the stealing stuff, but there's also the like lying to people and convincing them of things. You might be a little min-maxed. Especially also there's the challenge of there could be an advantage to, say, not being memorable. And Krong is very memorable.
I can skulk through the shadows if you guys want.
I don't need you to. I'll protect you.
After a little bit of wandering around Varkenbluff University, you find Dr. Janelle's office. It's way, way down at the end of a hallway. It's kind of tucked away in a corner. It's kind of a dark and gloomy hallway. Great for Krong, but it's not very well lit. And it looks like this may have, before it became a office, been some kind of storage closet. There's, not a lot of light. There's something dripping, and it is just full of books. This is an image they provided me of Dr. Casey Donnell, who is a young, by professor standards, young anthropologist who looks up at you as you come in and says, yes, I was expecting you. You are friends of ours.
Io Edebiri, who that looks like.
Oh. You are.
Hello.
Hello.
Please tell us about the Merkmeyer Stone.
Yes.
It is urgent.
Yes, it is very urgent. In fact, it may be more urgent than even our friends were led to believe based on some of my latest research. You see, I was part of the team that originally dug up the Merkmeyer Stone from the Merkmeyer. The Merkmeyer is the official name of a large area of swamp expanse north of Varkenbluff. And we unearthed, as part of one of our digs, this fascinating kind of green stone. And she holds up her hands to show you kind of how big it is. It's substantial. It's, several feet on each side. And it seemed to just, the light seemed to kind of flow through it with just a very kind of strange way. And it has some strange etchings into it. And, my team and I, we were fascinated at first. We'd never seen anything like it. It seemed like it was proof of a new culture that had lived in the Merkmeyer before the founding of Varkenbluff. But I have done some additional research on some of the things that existed in the area in the Merkmeyer before the founding of Varkenbluff, and I'm pretty concerned and convinced that, and when I say pretty, I mean like 100% convinced that the Merkmeyer Stone is an egg that will hatch tonight at midnight.
Yikes!
Who laid this egg?
I believe some sort of, to use the word god, it would be troubling, but a god-like being, kind of a natural force, probably something that was very focused on consuming all life. Yes.
I didn't know gods laid eggs. I thought they spawned by, appearing out of each other's foreheads and stuff.
Oh, gods are known to reproduce in all manner of ways, depending on the local beliefs of a given civilization. I could go on at length about the different ways that gods are known to procreate.
What? How big is this egg? Is it like, you know, salmon or like chicken or like ostrich or like rock? Like how big is that?
Yeah,
egg?
Do we need to bring a wheelbarrow?
It is rock shaped, which is I recognize is relatively unspecific. You know, larger than a loaf of stale bread ready to be made into goblin bread, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
What if you put egg? Your hands up so that you were holding it, and then we could really see how.
Ooh, oh, you got to cradle it with your arms. Yeah, wow, that's a big egg.
That's pretty big.
Like as a yeah. Oh, and it's not right. Exactly. I mean. I use the word egg here because there's a being growing within it that will hatch. It's not exactly egg-shaped. It's more like just, you know, rock-shaped.
Okay.
But I've been working. I've been studying the scrolls, and I'm very excited. She pushes kind of a stack of books aside, and there's this strange contraption on her desk. It looks like kind of like a crate made out of crystal. And she says, this device, it's of my own, well, I mean, based on specifications from the ancient scrolls, but of my own creation, not of my own design. That would be, oh, I'm getting carried away here. Well, this will help us defuse the egg, provided we get the egg in here before midnight tonight. If we don't, well, that's really not on me at that point. That's outside of the realm of academia, I think.
How confident are you that this box will work?
80 to 85%.
Where is this egg being held, and or this rock god rock egg thing?
Yes.
Where is it being held? How can we get it? Why can't you just tell them?
Well, I did tell them, and no one listened to me. You know, all of the findings from the dig were handed over to the Varkenbluff Museum of Natural History. The university has a very strong relationship with them, and well, I told them, and they did not believe me. And then, well, I may have tried to steal the egg, and I did not go well. And honestly, I think I'm going to get fired next week.
Oh no,
that's terrible.
I know. I might have to move to Waterdeep.
You don't have tenure.
You don't want to
huh?
do that. Nope. It's not great there.
I am pre-tenure. Once you get tenure, you steal an egg, nobody can stop you. What are you going to do?
Is there anybody in particular at the museum who is your nemesis, or is it just the whole system, man?
No, well, the curator, Alda Arkin, was completely unsupportive of my research into the Merkmeyer egg and the Eldritch Beasts within it. He is just convinced that it's just a very pretty rock and people will pay a lot of money to come see it. He's got it on display. Ready to go on display tomorrow morning in the Gemstone Wing, but, well, I suspect by tomorrow morning there won't be much left of the Gemstone Wing. Not really sure about what the status of the museum itself will be. It really depends on the motivation of the creature and whether it hangs out there or moves on, how many people there are to eat, and so on. I don't know a lot about the biology of Eldritch Horrors.
So, if you have tried to break in, can you give us any information about what we should be aware of, what kinds of protection, security, guards?
The lay of the land, mm-hmm. the scouting report, stuff
can
like that.
Can you do our homework for us?
I can. They our friends, the Golden Vault, indicated that any information I could provide would be helpful. And I have been, as a professor, to the Varkenbluff Museum many times myself. Allow me to show you this. And she knocks over another stack of books and pulls out a big rolled up piece of paper that's strangely on her letterhead despite the size. Clicking show to everyone in Roll 20. If you double click on that, I think it'll take up, fill your browser window. And she has kind of a hand-drawn map sketch of the Varkenbluff Museum of Natural History. She's very proud of it. And it shows you the Varkenbluff Museum of Natural History is kind of two main floors. And the Gemstone Wing is on the second floor. And, you know, she's got some notes here about the Varkenbluff Museum.
The Gemstone Wing. That's useful to know about.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Other things that I have tried to do to help you out on behalf of our friends, the Golden Vault. because you guys are keys, right? So there is a gala tonight at the museum, and our friends thought it might be useful if you had the ability to attend the gala. And so she pulls out from a pocket four kind of shiny embossed invitations to the gala starting at 6 o'clock tonight at the Varkin Bluff Museum of Natural History.
What time is it now, Tony?
I think it's about noon by the time you've gotten to across Varkin Bluff to the university. You may have gotten lost along the way.
So then I'm going to
get that drunk anymore.
And then I'm going to say, wait a second. I love dressing up for a ball as a pretense to steal something. I think that is a dream I've had for a long time.
You could also simply use it to scout the museum in more detail too and come back later. The museum closes at 8.
Okay, I just am saying that we have 12 hours until the god thing hatches, and
true.
6 hours from now is when the gala starts. So this is great. I wonder if we might want to go to the museum before that.
Perhaps. I'm really not an expert on heists. Anthropology is my thing. If there's something I can help you out with from an anthropological perspective, let me know.
Well, the map says there's a few ways in. There's a loading docks that gets into the basement, but we don't have stairs to the first floor.
I apologize. I've never seen the basement myself, but I know it's, you know, underneath the first floor.
And there's an attic window that I like. The attic window, we can get if we can get onto the roof, we can get in through the attic, presumably get to the second floor that way.
Are there any other buildings next door?
It's kind of it takes some time to think about it. It's kind of its own block, so it would probably it is there's not any attached buildings next to it.
So no taller buildings across the street?
No.
What if we just walked in the front door and sussed things out as, like, patrons of the museum?
Right.
You certainly could.
Because it's open.
It is open. It's open to the public.
Well, that's where we should start. We got to scope it out.
Absolutely. We should drop off our orders for tuxedos, though.
Well,
you guys can just come back to my place. Oh my God, there's so much stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great. I'm sure you have something that will fit me.
We'll have a montage of trying on outfits.
I happen to know that bugbears can squeeze.
Oh, our friends, the Golden Vault, sent this along in case it would be helpful to you. And she pulls out of a filing cabinet a kind of fancy looking bag and a sack of gold coins. Hand you.
This does seem useful.
What's in the fancy looking bag?
You open the fancy looking bag, and it's empty.
What's this fancy looking bag for, I say?
Oh, well, it can hold a lot more than it looks like it can hold.
Oh, bigger on the inside.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm told it weighs 15 pounds regardless of its contents.
Is the opening of the bag big enough to fit the Merkmeyer stone in it?
And the box that it needs to go in?
She looks at it and says, I think so.
I mean, we have the box right here. So, like, test
it. The box is too big to put in the bag, but the it looks like, you know, the bag fits in the box. I don't know if that
helps. So we're going to have to find a place to stash this box,
mm-hmm.
put the egg in the bag, take the bag to the box, put the egg in the box.
I need to do some more work.
The box stays here.
Yeah, the box stays here.
The box stay here?
Oh, okay.
Yes, it's very important.
We get the stone.
The ley lines.
Stone goes in the bag.
And I've got the, you know, the stars are aligned with it right here. Like, it's, we should probably, like, not even look at it directly.
I think I missed
the
beginning of the thing. So we don't need to get to it by midnight. We need to get back here. By midnight.
Oh, right. Yes. Mm-hmm. I would ask that if you are not here by midnight, that you do not return. I'll be here, but I would appreciate that you are either here before midnight or not at all.
Will the building be unlocked?
Yes, it's an open campus.
You know, office building.
Yeah.
Inside there is the bag of holding that you've been given. You've also been given a generous stipend from the Golden Vault in case you need to purchase any equipment or do anything else. You know, basically, your per diem for saving the city is 20 gold pieces each. That is the the total budget for saving the city is 80 gold pieces.
To save the city, it's time to reconnoiter
at the very least, right?
I agree. We should reconnoiter. We should definitely plan on attending the gala, though. So on our way over, I would like to stop by someplace and just have them take my measurements for a suit.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That totally happens and takes a significant amount of time to get measured for a bugbear appropriate suit. Do other people wish to get measured for suits or gowns or anything else? Do you, or maybe some people are already ready to go?
I have a selection of appropriate gowns already.
Do you want to go, wear so many gowns? Do you need to swing by and just, you know, pick out some options?
Well, they're at Lavithia's house.
Okay.
So we need to get those.
Yeah, but before the gala, not before we go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hanging out at a, I mean, I suppose we could put them in the bag.
We could put them in the bag.
We could put them in the bag.
Let's try to get wrinkled. We could hide,
Yeah, it is probably something worth thinking about as adventurers. You do obviously possess, even at level one, a decent amount of, you know, armor and weapons and whatnot that it would be totally appropriate to be wandering around in the wilderness with in the Mirkmire, but might not be as appropriate to wander into the Varkenbluff Museum of Natural History.
Can I put
with swords and axes and whatnot?
Flail in the bag.
That's what it's for.
Yeah, I think we can put all our stuff in the bag so we seem like regular people.
Yeah.
And then we can go into those bathrooms that are right around
just
the corner.
Just a regular, horrible monster. And
hello, I am a regular art patron.
And a fish man and a goth lady and just a normal human.
I'm very nondescript.
So definitely not wearing chainmail.
Yeah. I would like to, just because it may be important later, who is going to carry the bag that has everything in it?
Erica.
It doesn't go with my outfit.
Yeah. The forgetful one.
Okay. Lavithia has...
I don't leave things behind. I just space out. So this is that's smart.
Yeah, there's different types of forgetfulness. Lavithia has the bag of holding that has all of your worldly possessions in it.
What does it look like on the outside?
Did you see the picture in Roll 20?
It's like a little...
Yeah. I still have the map open. Oh,
it
okay.
has like a neat kind of face embroidered on it.
I like it.
Yeah. I'd never seen art of a bag of holding, and I'd never stopped to think about what one would look like. I think I always imagine a bag of holding more as just like a burlap sack.
Same.
And this one is more like a fancy, like a satchel with, you know, it's much more colorful than I would have expected, I guess.
It's like a little messenger bag.
Yeah. We should coordinate your outfit to go with it so it looks normal.
So something that
when
goes
you're
red
it.
And blues. Mm-hmm. You got it? Do you have any gowns with faces on them so you can match that?
Probably.
Yeah.
I always picture a JanSport backpack because I was 14 when I started playing D&D.
Yeah, I have several gowns that are like, they're kind of gowns. They pass for gowns, but you can tell they're the kind of thing that, you know, a girl's going to wear where she's trying to sneak out of the party as soon as possible to go cavorting in the woods, and her parents didn't want her to completely ruin, like, super expensive fabric, so a messenger bag over one shoulder would work perfectly.
Nice. All right. You head to Varkenbluff Museum of Natural History, conveniently located in the historical district of downtown Varkenbluff. It is a large, you know, kind of granite looking big building with big columns. You can see it's, you know, it looks like it's several stories. It's a pretty imposing kind of edifice. Let's see, things that you would notice just from the outside. You know, it looks like it has big, high, vaulted ceilings. And yeah, it's a fancy looking place. Let's see, I do have
vaulted ceilings, you say?
Yeah.
Interesting, because this says it might have an attic.
Are vaulted ceilings incompatible with an attic?
Well, I just figure that if you're indoors and you see big, giant vaulted ceilings, then there isn't an attic on top of it.
Well, there could be levels and levels and levels. I'm going to reveal the kind of main lobby. This is, you're going to have to scroll. Actually, first, I will take you to the screen where there is a map, and then you will scroll down on said map. So heading in, you are in a huge open lobby. The ceilings are 30 feet high above you, kind of To your left and right are statues depicting robed human women. This seems to be kind of just like a large public mingling space. There's lots of marble columns. There's an information desk that looks like it's staffed by some interns. There's a grand staircase draped in a rich carpet on the north side of the lobby that heads up. You see hallways on the western side of the lobby that presumably lead to museum wings. There's a bunch of, it looks like there's probably more like museum offices on the east side of the lobby. And there are not one, but two gift shops tucked in under the grand stairway leading up. So this is Varkenbluff Museum of Natural History. There's a kind of ornate fancy sign indicating that admittance is free, but donations are encouraged. 3 gold pieces is the suggested donation amount.
I will immediately put 3 gold pieces in the thing and saunter past.
Okay.
I put 2 in.
I put none in, and I walk in with my head held high.
And I'm just sauntering along with everyone
Revel.
Else.
All right. A lot of sauntering today. As you
That's
kind
what
of
you do in a museum, man. You saunter in.
You saunter in. As you saunter about, there's a mix. It does seem like, it's probably good that you stash your armor and weapons because you feel slightly underdressed for who is hanging out in the Museum of Varkenbluff Museum of Natural History on a Tuesday afternoon in the middle of the day. It's definitely kind of your upper class folks of Varkenbluff people.
I'm dressed like super nice because that's the only clothes my parents let me have here.
Okay, you're great. Everyone else?
No, I wear black and purple, but they're quality black and purple.
Kronger, are you wearing pants today?
No.
Okay. Krong and Revel may or may not look out of. Maybe people assume that they are your servants. It does seem like the people that are visiting the museum in the middle of the afternoon on a Tuesday are your rich upper class folks.
Well healed.
Do I know any of these people?
Do you want to or not?
I don't know.
I don't care if I do or not because I'm just going to ignore them.
I forget, Levithia, would you know people in Varkenbluff or in terms of your origins or not? It's up to you.
I'm from a really, really rich family, so I have been forced to attend parties in Waterdeep and here, even though, like I said, I tried to keep to the country manor as much as possible.
You definitely recognize some faces. I don't know if you know anybody by name.
Yeah,
here.
Like I'm not going to go up and talk to them. I'm just wondering, like, should I prepare myself just in case?
Not that
they would necessarily remember me, but you never know.
There are some signs indicating both that there is a fancy gala tonight, 6:00. And that tomorrow is the opening of the Gemstone Wing featuring
6:00 or 8:00?
6:00 is when the gala starts. 8:00 is when the museum and the gala close.
Got it.
That the Merkmeyer Stone will be officially on display starting tomorrow for the public. So you are in a museum.
So I think we should like super casually and not too directly make our way to that wing upstairs.
Okay. I'm going to head straight up. I feel like you probably are concerned about assessing the security situation here.
Indeed.
I will mention
like, I want to know if there's any alarms on this floor.
Okay. How are you going to detect if there are any alarms on this floor?
When we walk in, I'm going to look at the door we walk through, see if there's any magic sigils or something.
I'll make an arcana check.
I can do detect magic, I think.
Oh, that would be the most direct of those various options.
Yeah, direct magic keeps going for an hour, doesn't it? So you could do that.
Oh, I can do
outside,
divine sense. Not quite the same. That was a different character. So I can tell if there's any good or evil, but not magic.
I would save the precious spell slot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Krong, did you want to give a perception check? And Levithia, did you want to do an arcana check?
Sure. 16.
And I got a 7.
Krong, you notice there's stuff, but it's hard to know what is just the ornate nature of the museum. Levithia, you are looking around, and you notice it's on this first floor. I'm going to ask you where are you looking on the in the lobby?
Let's see. Where is the place that we dropped off the gold?
Did you drop off the gold somewhere? I missed that.
We put a couple of pieces to pay.
Oh, right at the that would be at the kind of reception information desk right here.
Okay, so that's where.
Yeah, just north of. So you're standing
there. So like I'm looking around as I'm pulling out the coins.
You are looking around and you notice that there are a variety of sigils around this immediate area that are not activated. I don't know if I don't know how magic works, so I don't know if that makes it easier or not or harder to find them, but there are several things that are warded with magical alarms, and just glancing around, you notice like a bunch. You notice that the door to the museum is warded. You notice that the hallway immediately to your west is warded. You note that the door to your immediately to your east is warded. You also notice that those statues, they might be more than statues. So you're like glancing around and you are getting like all kinds of thing on your heads up display, and you're like, I am 10 feet into this museum and there's a lot here.
I'm checking the ceiling too, FYI.
Mm-hmm. The ceiling is just lovely, but not warded.
Okay.
Getting out is going to be the problem.
Mm. Maybe not by the front door.
We might want to try and find that basement door.
Yeah.
What would you like to do next? You've mentioned a basement door. I think some people have mentioned going upstairs. You're also, you know, this is scouting. Splitting the party would not be, the most. I mean, you're guests at a museum. As long as you don't start a fight, there's unlikely to be a fight.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
No, we want to like look at all the angles.
Okay.
That we can on the inside here.
You head up to the second floor and you emerge in the prehistoric predators exhibit, which is a large central kind of area of the museum. This area of the museum has the intact skeletons of several large prehistoric monsters on display, including the museum's most famous display, the beautifully preserved body of an Allosaurus, its leathery skin appearing supple to the touch. It is posed in a kind of dramatic, fearsome pose. The informational placard next to the dinosaur explains it died in the Merkmire millennia ago and was naturally preserved. There's also lots of display cases along the room's walls holding fossils and other local predators. There's a smaller number of kind of nobility wandering around. It looks like some of them might be, you know, kind of junior scholars doing homework and whatnot. There are two guards patrolling this area as well. You notice there's kind of a hallway that runs east to west along the north side of the building. North of you, there's another hallway going due east from here, and there's a kind of main doorway going east from here. So east, west, and north are kind of your main options for where you might go from the prehistoric predators exhibit.
Now, the east is where the thing is supposed to be.
Mm.
Yes, correct? That's the gemstone according to map. Ring. Let's go check out the gemstone wing to the east.
Okay, there's kind of a fancy, it's not the biggest doors, but they're very fancy. And there is an easel with a sign advertising the gala tonight. The doors look like they are closed up. And as you kind of mosey over in that direction, Krong, one of the guards kind of mentions, sorry, folks, gemstone wing is under construction. They're setting up for a gala, but the grand opening is tomorrow. Come back then. You can see the Merkmire stone.
Oh, is the gala in the gemstone wing?
Yes.
Of course
I'm going to make another arcana check.
Mm-hmm.
Not very well. That's a 7.
You definitely know that there are alarms around here, but you're having a hard time pinpointing where they are. I'll just remind you, you know, as a, you know, level one magic user, you know, there is basically a common...
I'm not a magic user.
Well, as a level one student of life. You know, it's a common spell is to set up some kind of ward such that when, you know, someone who is not permitted passes by an area, stuff happens. That stuff could be all manner of things. It could be a siren. It could be statues that murder you. It could be an explosion. It's unlikely that the museum is set to explode when people, you know, accidentally set off an alarm. But it could be the kind of thing where, you know, suddenly a lot of people are notified that someone is where they're not supposed to be.
The guard that tells us that it's closed, I will just say, I'll just kind of shrug and pretend I ignored that bit and just ask, can you point me to the privies? And I look like across the room or something.
And nope. Over this way, and he points to the northeast corner of the, just down that hall there.
Off I go.
I go with her because that's what girls do.
We go together.
Yeah. Okay. You head to the back past the stairway. There is a, off to the kind of northeast corner of the second floor of the Varkin Bluff Museum of Natural History, several little rooms with privies in them. 5 in total.
All right. Well, I go into one and check out the like wall situation.
It seems like
another arcana check.
All right. There's
13.
Nothing is magical about the privies.
So there's no wards on the walls or anything.
No.
I go to the end of the hall to see what's happening down there.
Yeah. So. At the end of the hall, there is a kind of it looks like you have kind of, without meaning to, possibly passed from the public area into the staff area. There was nothing. There was no, you know, I imagine there's a sign that says staff only past this point, but there's nothing physically separating you from that. And there's a kind of less ornate, much more functional looking stairway leading up.
What are the ceilings like in the bathroom stalls?
They're not 30 feet high.
I mean, are they like, is there like recessed, like, you know, acoustic tiles with space above them?
Yes.
Okay. Like space for a nightmare monster to squeeze into?
Sure. I'm not sure what I'm agreeing to here.
I come to check it out with you, and I offer to give you a boost to look if you want to see if you can get into the ceiling.
Yes.
Ah, you're trying to get into the ceiling?
Uh-huh.
You said recessed ceiling, and you said yes.
All right. You get into the recessed ceiling. You can
just
see that there...
Like, I'm poking my head in, I'm not climbing yet.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, I'm good. You're scouting. You can see that there is kind of a, you know, kind of a drop ceiling here above the privies. It does look like it does not connect to the gemstone wing south of, you know, there's kind of, I guess, in architectural terms, I think it would be a firewall, but there is a, you know, significant looking kind of stone wall between the area you found above the privies and the gemstone wing to the south. You suspect the gemstone wing probably has a high vaulted ceiling.
So this would be enough room for potentially someone's to hide while they check the bathrooms before they close up for the night. Okay.
I will mention that one of the changes that was made to the bugbear class recently was that now bugbears can hide anywhere that a person that is size small can.
You could get 2 bugbears up here.
Because we're very good at hiding in small places. Mm-hmm. Then we come out, we unfold, we're huge.
Yeah.
Nice.
All right. Well, that sounds like a plan. Stairwell is interesting. It goes up. We looked at the
you
map.
You can hide Krong there now and just have him wait like 6 hours.
Well, I feel like that what this is shaping up as is that we're going to go to the gala and learn a lot of information, but also we're going to hide over here so that when it's all said and done, we can come out and steal the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, you could certainly hide, I would say, maybe 2 people. I think it would be challenging to hide 4 people. But you could try.
I want.
But there's like 5 stalls.
Yeah, I guess you could hide everybody in the ceilings above the stalls if you want. It might be slightly more conspicuous, depending on the number of people that entered the gala and did not exit the museum. But it's certainly possible.
But we could go in with 3 of us temporarily in the bag of holding. And then
we
come
out.
You
can breathe in the bag of holding.
You can. You can breathe for 10 minutes divided by the number of people in the bag.
Oh, okay. So it's a very short-term solution.
So 3 minutes from the outside of the museum, inside, rush up the stairs, get into each separate stall.
Yeah. Well, no, you just...
We want to mingle.
No, just on the way in, because then we count as one person, but it's actually four people for their count when we leave.
Just to be clear, you do have four tickets also, so you're...
No, but I'm just saying, you said they might be suspicious if not... It might be. Then again, they may be
people
really
sloppy.
People
will drift out. Like, it's not like everyone leaves at the same time and they'll be clicking heads.
Mm-hmm.
You don't count rich people.
I think we've got some good options.
Yes.
I'm really worried about how we're going to get out with the
stuff. So I had a thought, which is if this goes to the roof, which is something that's on the map, one possibility we could have with our gold pieces and all is to see if we could find a shop with maybe like a potion of feather fall or something like that, where we could actually, or some other method where we could run to the roof and then basically jump off. With the thing.
I like this plan.
I wonder if there's some kind of equipment that you could use to like climb down a building. I'm imagining like a really big string.
Like a magical thing, like a rope or something, Tony?
A rape? Is that how you pronounce it? Rope?
No, it's a rope. I don't know.
I've seen in writing many times.
Tony,
I've never said it out loud.
Are you suggesting that we use a rope to climb down a building? That's a novel use of rope, if ever I've heard it.
You know,
rope is for things like
tying to arrows.
I don't know, making a statue.
Talking about your feelings with lassoing like a something. Yeah. You know.
Okay. Let me pitch this.
Okay.
Yes.
First, at the gala, we go in early. Mm. We get a look at the stone. We leave. We find a place to make a replica of the stone. We come back in. We cut the lights. We swap it in. Now we've got the stone. They don't know. We go up to the roof. We construct a minor catapult to throw the stone over the street to a bucket we've set up across the street on a different roof.
Okay.
Then we come back inside. We mingle. We leave. They don't know they don't have the right stone. We walk across the street. We go up to that roof. We get the stone down. We take it to the professor. Done.
What if you just you get a really big catapult and you catapult it all the way to the university, and then you don't have to walk into the university?
How far is the university from the museum?
About 4.5 miles.
Oh,
how big's the catapult?
I don't think the roof would hold a catapult that big. My concern.
Well, the key is you're gonna have to smuggle the catapult to the roof piece by piece.
Yeah, right.
You know, you're gonna be here all afternoon.
My concern is any wards that might be around it that would be triggered by replacing it.
Would you like to explore these stairs that have been mentioned?
I think somebody should, but I think it should be one person, and it should be somebody who could plausibly say they got lost or be sneaky.
Okay.
Oh, Krong could just be sneaky.
Mm.
That's good, too.
Do you guys come back from the bathrooms?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed there's a staircase.
It might be less
back.
Suspicious if we didn't keep going back there to the bathroom.
Yep.
I would like to go to the privies, and from the privies, I will stealth and go up the stairs.
All right. You want to roll stealth? Because why not?
It's not a good roll, but it is a 12.
All right. I mean, that's not a bad number. It's just not an amazing number. It's probably a bad number for Krong. But you head up the kind of dingy, non-ornate stairs, and they bring you to a decent-sized attic room that seems to be kind of built into the top of the museum here. The attic map is kind of up and to the left of where you were on the map there. This area seems like it is basically mainly used as storage space. There's, you know, in one kind of one half of the attic is like stuff that's been here forever, covered with a thick layer of dust. The other half looks like it's stuff that's being used more regularly, and you can see that somebody has already been kind of staging stuff to bring things down to the gala. There's some, you know, fancy tables and stacks of table linens and a lot of chairs stacked up and ready to be carried down the stairs. There's also perhaps what catching your eye more than anything, the mid-afternoon light is spilling in, illuminating this attic from a very large skylight kind of that dominates the center of the attic.
What an odd choice architecturally. Why would they have a giant skylight just for a storage room?
Yeah.
It's weird.
Does it it doesn't go down because you said there's vaulted ceilings. It doesn't like connect to the room below. Nothing.
Nope. Just this room.
It's just
this storage room.
That room is very well
lit. Just that room. Yep.
That is curious.
It looks very pretty from the outside.
I will say the other rooms are very well lit by there's lots of magical torches all throughout the museum that presumably have some kind of like eternal flame spell cast on them. But this room is very well lit with natural light.
Does the skylight open?
Looking up at it, the skylight is a good deal above. Well, I forget how tall Krong is.
7 feet 5.
The skylight is a small deal above Krong's head. You can see that the skylight clearly has moving compartment or moving panel that would move, though it looks like it's pretty old and rusted and has not been operated in
decades.
Doesn't
Krong have 10-foot reach? Can Krong go whoop?
Yes, he can if he wanted to.
Yeah. It does look like there is a relatively simple but old and rusty lock. Locking this. The skylight is currently locked closed.
I will not touch it right now. I'm trying not to touch anything because somebody is going to be up here bringing tables down for the gala or whatever. Is there a box that says like Merkmeyer stone like stenciled on it or anything?
It does not seem to be anything like that.
All right. Is there any sigils or anything around the skylight?
Give me a quick perception check.
How about investigation, Tony? Investigation, just once. Investigation.
I thought investigation was more for like deduction with interacting with people.
Oh, that's fine.
Okay.
I thought that was insight.
It is insight.
Oh.
But he's the DM.
I don't make any mistakes anyway, except for all the mistakes I make.
That was a perception. I rolled a 7.
As far as you can tell, the skylight is unlocked.
All right.
I'm sorry, not unlocked. You know it's locked. Skylight is unalarmed. doesn't seem to be any alarms in the attic in general. I mean, and you did just wander into the attic and haven't set off any alarms.
I will stealth down, stealth into a privy, and then walk out of the privy noisily.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to, as Krong's doing that investigation, just wander into the cafe and then through the creatures of the past.
So Levithia, you head west from the prehistoric predators exhibit. There's a little cafe here on the second floor. It is the Unearthed Cafe. There's one guard here, and then there's a clerk work in the cafe. And you buy a coffee.
Yes, and I tip. Not so much as to be remembered, but I don't stiff them either. Just the right amount to be forgettable.
Did you say you wanted to wander south from there into the other exhibits? All right, south of that, there's kind of a series of chambers. I'm just going to open a couple of them here for you. Doesn't seem like maybe at this stage of the afternoon, the crowd is starting to get a little bit sparser. There's some guards patrolling, but you don't see any other museum patrons at this area. There's several different rooms here. The first one is the Creatures of the Past exhibit. Fossils of small prehistoric creatures are arranged here, some as fully reconstructed skeletons. The exhibits include microraptors, ornithopods, dwarf elephants, and an ancestor of the cockatrice. Informational placards tell the stories of these creatures and their bones discovery.
Jason, you should be in there with her.
Oh.
Okay.
Because wild shape lets you turn into any animal you've seen before.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Well, museum, yeah. I'm drinking it in. I want to see all these
Yeah, you do. Yeah. You can already turn into an allosaur.
Yeah, I love it. I question how exciting an allosaur is in a world with dragons, but...
Well, I mean, the thing is, dragons are kind of, the excitement of dragons is lessened because they're not extinct. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, what if there was a dragon, but it couldn't talk and it had been dead for millions of years?
If we see a zoo, you should definitely
go. Thank you, you're right. No, that's a druid wild shape tip, right? Yeah. You gotta drink it all in. Yeah.
Mm-mm.
It's good.
It looks like Levithia and Ravel are continuing to wander through the exhibits. Yep. Let me know if you want to be doing anything in particular. The next set of rooms.
Arcana checks.
Okay.
Just as I go. just to see. That's a crappy one. That's a 9 in the first room. That's an 18 in the second room. That's a 19 in the room that my token is in right now. 15 in the next room. And then the last room is a 12.
Give me a generic perception check as you're meandering around.
Sure. It's my perception. What is my perception? It doesn't matter when you roll a 4. 6.
Okay. There doesn't seem to be much or anything in the way of magical wards or protections on this area. I guess at this point you would have had to have crossed many other alarms and precautions to get here. There are several guards patrolling. The middle exhibits is the Underground Wonders exhibit, which there's glittering ore and gemstones are arranged in velvet-backed display cases. Informational placards explain local geologic history. And then at the very end of the wing is the archaeology display. Picks, trowels, brushes, and other archaeological tools are on display here. Informational placards label them as tools famous local experts use to dig up the wonders found elsewhere in the museum. Murals along the south wall depict famous digs.
What's to the north? What is the north wall situation?
It looks like it's just a wall. Do you want to specifically look at the north wall?
Yeah, because I know that the... it's the other side of that wall. That's like, I'm casing the joint all the way around the room. Okay. Where I know the egg.
Give me a quick perception check.
It's weird that there's privies on the second floor.
It is a little odd, isn't it?
That's true, but yes, it is. Gravity, you know, helps something. 14.
All right. As you're looking around, a 14 is good enough. You do notice it's not like a secret door. It's like a subtle door. there seems to be kind of like some kind of utility door or space north of this, on the north wall of the archaeological wing here. You know, it's not intended to be invisible. It's just intended to not suggest that this is kind of a normal path for public entrance.
So it's human sized, small
size. Oh yeah, it's a normal human sized door.
Is it locked?
Do you want to find out?
With a padlock on this. You know,
it does not
obviously.
Look like it. It's kind of a sliding. It's a sliding door. It does not look like it's locked.
I'm specifically making an Arcana check here.
Okay.
And once again, that's a 7.
It does not appear to be magical. It appears to just be a door.
I'm tempted to try to open it, but I don't think that's a good idea.
There's not a guard in this room right now, but there are guards wandering back and forth in this wing.
Does it open? Which way does it open?
It's a sliding door. It opens into the hole.
Meanwhile, I'm going to be sort of like positioning myself. Again, looking at all the objects, but in a way that I know that their guards are wandering, but it's going to actually block their view a little bit.
Sure.
Into this
I'm going to lean. I'm going to lean against the wall, just sort of like backwards, so that I would open the door and be like, oh, I didn't realize there was a door there in case there's somebody on the other side of it.
Okay.
That's how I want to open the door.
And the door kind of rolls sideways into the wall as Levithia kind of stumbles into some kind of secret passageway. What secrets are hidden within the walls of Varkan Bluff Museum? And will those secrets be useful for finding the Merkmeyer stone? Or will the stone hatch and will everybody be consumed by an eldritch horror and they'll have to roll new level 1 characters who will fight a giant eldritch monster? For answers to questions such as these, tune in next time to Total Party Kill.